Welcome to the Andrea Kay Show. She's blonde, 5'2", and 102 pounds of dynamite in a dress. Here she is, Andrea Kay.
Welcome to hour two of tonight's Andrea Kay Show on this hump day. Glad to have you with me. We had some fun last hour. I also hit it hard on the Mayorkas impeachment debacle that has taken place. And I hold the Republican Party to blame for the situation with the border because we have the power and we're not using it. So if you missed last hour, we also had a special guest on the show. If you missed last hour, the founder of Unpopular Politics Group and author of The Boy Who Cried Race and The Blessing of America. So you're going to want to listen to that hour if you missed it. So download the podcast wherever you get your pods. Email me at AndreaKayShow.com, AndreaKayShow.com. Continuing on this hour, we've got, have you guys been seeing that footage out of Dubai? Not sure if you know the background as to what has gone on that led and precipitated, little hint, precipitated the massive flooding and rains taking place in Dubai. So we've got much to get into this hour. Before I go any further, I got to bring in my brother. It is DJ Sesame Broccolini.
I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, I think the new moral of the story, the big takeaway for me from last hour, look, Republicans, they're great at playing the card of principled loser, but I'm tired of losing. Don't we want to win? Aren't we tired of this crap? Like, when is enough enough, guys? And look, Harry Truman, he said the buck stops with the president. Sure, to some extent, but ultimately the buck stops with us. This is self-governance. It's our republic. So we need to start acting like it.
Well, here's the thing. It depends on your definition of a win. Because money for Ukraine is a win for Johnson. Breitbart is reporting tonight that the reason why Mike Johnson flip-flopped on Ukraine could start with the fact that his top policy advisor that came aboard with him after he got the position of speaker is a former lobbyist whose clients include a number of major companies who have a vested interest in the Ukraine war. So there you have it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Yep. So. So that's everything. Follow the money, right? Isn't that the old adage?
Mm-hmm.
Why did Johnson choose that person? How much is Johnson going to specifically make off of this? There was supposed to be a blocking you there. What didn't Trump put something in play that you couldn't? Oh no, that had to do with if you left office, you couldn't go and work as a lobbyist. But I thought we were supposed to have some law against lobbyists coming to work within the government for this very reason. This lobbyist also represented a News Media Alliance, which was lobbying Congress when he to push a proposal that would hurt conservative media. The proposal was called the Journalism Competition and Preservation Act, which was basically about, it was trying to revive the old equal time crap and nonsense, which would basically hamper, because look, the left has tried to put forth, remember Air America, they've tried to compete with conservative news, particularly in radio, and it didn't work. And so there was this new push to try to revive that, to try to basically through regulation require radio, conservative radio outlets like Salem Media to have, in addition to having, the Andrea Kay Show, have a Democrat or liberal counter to the programming. So this is who this guy Ziegler is. He's a lefty. Basically, a lefty lobbyist, and that's who Speaker Johnson hired to be his top policy advisor. And I don't believe for a second that Johnson did not know his background and didn't know what this guy was all about. So there you have it. Several other staffers according to Breitbart, have troubling backgrounds. And Breitbart is trying to say, you know, it's unclear if Speaker knew about this or not. Well, if he didn't, he's an idiot. He's just hiring people that he doesn't know anything about, doesn't know anything about their backgrounds. Does that make sense to you?
No, it
doesn't. To me.
And no. I also don't buy that. No way. Not a chance.
No. He knew exactly who he was hiring. And, you know, this is just confirmation to me about why this man has to go. Yeah. All right. Moving on. We've talked enough about him. Oh, and actually, before we move on, one final thought. Republican Conference Chairman John Barrasso from Wyoming issued a statement saying, quote, every Democrat will pay a heavy price in November for willingly refusing to end this border crisis. When have the Democrats ever paid a price for anything? They continue to get whatever they want from the Republican Party. How stupid do they think we are, Sesame?
Oh, very. I mean, they're betting on that because that's just ridiculous. And it goes to show people – it's like the GOP guys, they hate us. I can't figure out what else it could possibly be. But it reminds me of that clip just from last night with that – I forget what Katie Couric saying that MAGA is just a bunch of basically morons. They're not intellectuals. That's how they view most of the base. MAGA is the conservative base. They look at us like we're peasants. And if we ever push back, then it's just about keeping us in line or gaslighting us. Oh, you know, this is the slimmest majority we've ever had. This is what you signed up for, man. I'm not here for excuses. I'm here to get things done. And that should be the MO. I mean, come on. You guys aren't even working every day of the year. You take more vacation than anybody I've ever known in my whole life. Come on.
Look, there's no excuse. Article. Y'all can go read this Breitbart article, and you need to. It goes in depth in terms of these staffers and people that he's hired. He's, according to this article, given instructions for them to go scorched earth against conservatives as well as against Trump.
Oh.
This is a sabotage campaign against MAGA through Speaker Johnson's office. Yeah. So that's the deal. And it's overdue time for Massey. Massey needs to stop talking. MTG needs to stop talking. They need to put the motion to vacate the chair. Bottom line. And if the Democrats all join in and remove him and Hakeem Jeffries gets in, then you know what? Good. Because it is time to take power away from the Republicans if they're going to what's the point of having them being in power? What's Hakeem Jeffries going to do that Speaker Johnson wasn't already giving them? You know, if the Democrats are going to get their way, you know, then at least take the power and the money away from the Republicans. Remove them all from office. Not just from their leadership positions, but they're on committees and different things, but, you know, get them out of office. All they're doing is the Democrats' agenda anyway. All right, let's move on. So have you seen the footage of what's happening in Dubai?
I've seen just a little bit of it, like terrible flooding, right? It looks crazy.
Horrible. Yeah, absolutely horrible flooding. The rain, it's just absolutely horrific. Well, United Arab Emirates has confirmed that cloud seeding planes flew 7 missions in 2 days, 24 hours prior to the flooding. And now 2 years worth of rain has fallen in 2 days. And Dubai is not, their infrastructure was not meant to withstand this type of extreme weather. This is a result of cloud seeding. And the Democrats have not been hiding the fact anymore. I played clips of this weather gal who was on The View talking about and showing video of how great cloud seeding is and showing these stations set up to do cloud seeding and details of cloud seeding and how it can create snow and create rain. And of course, you know, this is supposed to be a great thing to do to stop a drought. And then I even, after playing this clip of this woman, I was like, well, then why are they ever complaining about drought conditions if they have this technology? Because the reason why they're doing this technology is not for good. It's so that they can have an event like this in Dubai, not be honest. Dubai is admitting, UAE is admitting that this is a result of cloud seeding. But what this is about is about creating these extreme conditions and then saying, see, we've got climate change. See, it's a result of climate change. This is what's been going on out here in California. This is, and I've had Californians try to tell me that rain like we have had into April and May in San Diego is, you know, typical San Diego weather. It is not. I've lived in San Diego now since the 90s. We never had this kind of rain into March and April. We may have May gray, but there's a difference between May gray, in which we've got cloud cover at the beach, and days of rain like we have had late into the spring. And this is to manipulate the minds, manipulating the weather and engineering of the weather to push out the lie that is climate change. You grew up here in San Diego. Am I wrong?
No. No, I mean, occasionally there are some years here and there where it's a little rainier than not, but to have this kind of weather going on this long into the new year, it's usually done by January.
Yes. I
mean, by February, things are looking
January,
great.
February.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, for some reason, old footage from Dan Rather, I don't even know how far this goes back. This may be going back to the 80s. Of this clip has kind of gone viral, predicting that Florida would be flooded in 25 years has been recycled. Sesame, if you can play this clip.
Concern about rising temperatures on planet Earth heated up a hearing here in Washington today. For years, scientists have theorized about the dangers of the so-called greenhouse effect, the warming of the Earth's atmosphere due to the burning of coal and oil. And in recent months, as David Culhane reports, research has uncovered facts to support that theory.
Many scientists claim that the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has been rising over the past 100 years, that the great sheets of pack ice in Antarctica are melting at a much more rapid rate than previously. And finally, that the sea level has been rising with increasing swiftness over the past 40 years. If these scientists are correct, about 25% of Florida would be flooded, along with low-lying areas all over the world. Climate changes could produce widespread disruption of agriculture. The American Farm Belt might be too dry, and the wheat and corn crops would have to move to Canada. Scientists blame the odorless, colorless carbon dioxide gas for these potentially dangerous changes around the planet. It is the greenhouse effect. The gas allows sunlight to filter down and warm the earth. But like the glass of a greenhouse, the carbon dioxide tends to trap heat so that it cannot rise into space. The scientists maintain that the coal, oil, and gas we've been burning for 100 years have produced more and more carbon dioxide and helped overheat the Earth. Now some political leaders endorse the demands for more CO2 monitoring stations, like this one in Hawaii. And they share the anger of the scientists at Reagan administration budget cuts at a time when they feel closer to getting definitive answers.
All right, I gotta end this. I'm bored with this nonsense. Has 25% of Florida ended up underwater? No.
No.
There's not been one prediction that's come true. And we never hear greenhouse effect anymore. We never hear global warming anymore. We hear climate change because every prediction of theirs was a fail. It was a lie. So they've got to do crap like cloud seeding and literally manufacture extreme events that are destroying lives, destroying properties, all so that they can further a lie for power. That's what's going on. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got more to talk about. We need, there was a Boeing whistle. You guys have any plans to fly anytime soon? You might want to stay tuned and hear what this Boeing whistleblower has to say before you get on another 757. Stay with us.
Andrea Kaye bringing the world a much-needed reality check. You're listening to The Andrea Kay Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. Rolling along in hour two here on a hump day. Glad to have you with me. All right. There have been so many crazy stories in the airline industry. I don't even know if y'all are scared to fly anymore. It's still, I guess, the safest way to travel, but not according to, not if you're on a Boeing jet, according to the Boeing whistleblower. Evidently, he was before Congress today and made some shocking comments. Let's start with, he's made a couple of statements. Let's start with him being asked by Senator Hawley about whether or not, let's just cut the chase. I believe in this clip, he's answering the question whether or not these planes are safe for travel. Sesame?
You raised concerns about the 787, and so they transferred you to the 777, right?
Well, initially they just cut me off of all the meetings. Oh. They took my name out, and then so I was just doing nothing. I wasn't informed of what. Then they transferred me, and they do it pretty stealthy. Oh, we have a job over here. We want you to go over there. So they move you down there, and, you know, I come from, like, 40 years of engineering background. So when I see and I've taken a lot of stress classes, even though I'm not a specialist on that, but when there's a problematic area that you see, you can recognize.
Okay, so I had you pull the wrong clip, but that's okay. We'll get to that next. So basically, he was a whistleblower, and, you know, he goes to them and says, look, y'all, we got a problem here. And they're like, you know what, why don't you, you know, instead of being on this team here with this plane that you're identifying has a problem as an unsafe, we're just going to move you over here. Oh, okay. Wow. Sesame, if you can play the next clip, it's down towards the bottom of the stack.
Your testimony is the 787 line and the 777, the 777 line, are you think not.
Well, they are doing stuff that increases the risk factors, okay? When you increase the risk factors, you know, it's not just one. You are doing stress concentrations, that those stress concentrations, like, you know, breaking a paper clip, you know, you do it once or twice, it doesn't break, but it breaks at some time. As the plane gets older, you know, all of these things that, you know, you took, you know, you said it's not a safety issue, it becomes a safety issue.
And the company's response to you was to threaten you?
Threaten you, sideline you, you know, transfer you.
Wow. They're taking actions, apparently, or inactions that by increasing risks, the planes are unsafe. That, you know, I don't think you have to be an engineer to really understand what these different stress tests are and these different risk factors they're taking. I think we can all understand the analogy he's using to where, you know, you move, you know, something back and forth, eventually it can handle the stress and eventually it's going to break. I don't understand how any of these are still flying around at this point. Your thoughts on all of this, Sesame?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really terrifying, and I say this very seriously, not to joke at all about it. I hope this what was his name? I forget. Sam something, right? This engineer. I really hope that he's careful and that he's got some security. I mean, he's not the first Boeing whistleblower to make certain allegations about the fact that there may be issues with quality control and shutting down employees. And it was not that long ago that John Barnett was in the middle of wrapping up a lawsuit with his former employer, Boeing, after 32 years of working for them. And he's mysteriously found dead in his truck in the parking lot of his hotel. So it's like, look, I hope this guy is careful. It seems that Boeing is in a lot of hot water because on top of it all, on top of these really disturbing remarks coming from a guy who seems like a very qualified engineer with a lot of experience, who has no reason to make this stuff up, I don't believe. Boeing is in trouble because United says that, you know, their Boeing airplane that, you know, had that mid-flight incident back in January leaving Portland where the door came off the fuselage mid-flight. Well, I guess they had to, like, they grounded all their flights, but they canceled so many, you know, tickets and trips that it cost them. I mean, they said in their first fiscal quarter, which just came to a close, they lost $200 million, I think. And they tied it to the failure of their Boeing aircraft. So there's Boeing's in a lot of hot water right now, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if the federal government, like the FBI, wants to look into any of this, any federal law enforcement agencies. I don't know if anything's been wrong or if there's any wrongdoing necessarily. But, I mean, this seems shady at best and really, really just terrifying at worst.
Yeah.
And it makes me just – I really see this stuff, and I don't want to bring it home, but it's like I don't want to fly right now. I really don't. I just
it's frightening.
It's
it really
scary.
Is.
I can't and, believe I'm saying this, know, in modern America, but I'm too afraid to step on an airplane right now.
And
that's
we've
nuts.
Got, as our transportation secretary, we've got a diversity hire who was hired because he and his alleged husband took, he's a diversity hire because he's a gay man. And, you know, the same guy that took 6 weeks off, took pictures with himself and another man holding a baby in a hospital bed like they had given birth. I mean, you know, the guy is not only incompetent, he's a whack job. And this is what we have in charge of transportation in this country. We're just not a serious country. I mean, this isn't America. This is the country that I grew up in. I used to respect this country. We were the leaders in technology. Now we're a laughingstock.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got passengers looking out and going, yo, you're missing some bolts on the wing here. And then on top of it, our institutions, you know, we also used to be the smartest, most well-educated, which was a part of the entrepreneurial spirit. And one of the reasons why we became the greatest country in the history of the world. And now we've got our so-called Ivy League schools and some of our so-called most important intellectual, you know, institutions like Columbia. There's a report out today. I don't know why there was another hearing today. The House Education Workforce Committee had a hearing that was titled Columbia in Crisis, Columbia University's Response to Anti-Semitism. Did we not already conclude that all of our colleges and universities are, you know, hotbeds of bigotry and anti-Semitism? We already know this. Yet here we've got more, performance going on. Under the phony guise of oversight, right? So, but at least we get to have some laughs, Esme. So the House Education Workforce Committee hearing had a hearing on Columbia today, and they had the university president there, some Nemat Shafiq was the star witness. So, the representative Jim Banks asked her a question about he picked up the guidebook of the school and asked about the spelling of the word folks, you know, like what's up with you folks, right? F-O-L-K-S, right? Guess how they spell it in the Columbia University guidebook.
Don't tell me it's the X. Don't tell me it's F-O-L-X.
Yep. It's F-O-L-X. Yes.
Wow.
It's gender inclusive.
Yep.
Term.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's yep. Latinx, all that Latinx, whatever. Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
This is what we're doing. He asked her, can you explain why the word folks is spelled F-O-L-X throughout the guidebook? And her response was, what, they don't know how to spell? Like, she didn't even know. She didn't realize. She goes, they don't know how to spell? I'm not familiar with that spelling. Okay.
Okay.
Do you think she – I mean, are they just so woke that I don't understand. I mean, you would think that since this Columbia is so infested with wokeism, you would think that Manoush Shafiq, or whoever this person is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, would, be on board with. I mean, how can she not? I mean, what a disgrace that she doesn't know the proper gender inclusive way to spell the word folks.
How can we take down China?
Yeah.
How can we deter North Korea if we can't even justify the right gender inclusive, non-heteronormative, non-binary?
this is just we're not a serious country.
No.
We're just not.
Not even close.
No. All right. We're going to take a break. What do you guys think about this? I know what you guys think. I know. I mean, the comments, by the way, on X under this are just absolutely yummy and delicious, because America is not on board with this. They want you to think that this country is on board with using the letter X in place of like Latina or Latino and all that. But this is not mainstream. They're trying to make it mainstream, and we've got to push back. We've got to push back against this, because this insanity cannot continue to exist. Not if America is going to continue to exist. All right, the AK show is going to continue on the other side of the break.
AK, Dynamite in a Dress, or just Andrea K, whatever you call her, she's on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea K Show. Continuing on before the break, if you missed it, download the podcast wherever you get your pods. We were talking about Columbia University. They were brought before Congress today about anti-Semitism, and somehow the conversation got towards their guidebook and their wokeism. Now, I mean, they have spelled the word folks with F-O-L-X. And by the way, when was the last time you heard a Democrat use the word folks? They don't even use that word. But the anti-Semitism is so broad in this country and so deep, more than anybody realized. And it is not by accident. We're at this feverish point of anti-Semitism in this country as a result of a couple of things, not just the indoctrination in our schools of pro-Palestinian, which is pro-terrorism, ideology in our schools, but also as a result of going back, particularly with George W. Bush on the heels of 9/11, importing all of these anti-American Islamist who, and you can't be, and they're not, they're equally anti-American and equally anti-Semitic at the same time. And now we've got them, as you've seen, all across the country, shutting down O'Hare Airport, shutting down the Golden Gate. Look, how many Americans, pro-lifers, are looking at decades behind bars because they did a sit-in or prayed at an abortion clinic? But these anti-American, pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah protesters, which is against the law, are allowed to shut down airports in this country. One of the reasons why is because the Democrats need them to win the election. In fact, I have a clip of Michael Moore, who's warning Biden that he's going to lose the election in November if he doesn't do more to appease these anti-Semitic pro-terrorist mobs around the country. Sesame, if you can play the clip.
We could end this. President Biden, you could end this now. You know it's wrong. I know you know it's wrong. And I know I sound like a broken record. And I know that you're going to lose this election, in part because too many people are going to stay home. They're not going to vote for Trump. They're not going to switch their vote from you to Trump. No, that is not how this is going to play out.
Wow.
As what happened to Hillary in Michigan, she lost by 2 votes per precinct, 2 for the whole state, 2. And that's what's going to happen to you.
So the push is on for Biden to appease the anti-Semitic, anti-American, pro-terrorist crowd. The Democrat Party has, if you didn't realize it before, has 100% officially taken the side of the terrorist in the war against radical Islam, which continues, by the way. Even Christopher Wray has said that there has not been a time since 9/11 when we are under threat of another 9/11 or October 7th style Islamic terror attack. And that's the Democrat Party constituency. Anything you want to add, Sesame?
I mean, that is your modern day, you know, progressive faction in American politics. And the more, you know, radical you get in terms of going further to the left, the more fervently they support Hamas, the destruction of the Israeli state, the Jewish state, the only Jewish state on the planet, and of course the destruction of America. I mean, we talk about this all the time, and they chant death to America and death to Israel in tandem. And Biden, I guess he is in this weird predicament, because it seems like more and more of his base, as time goes by, are increasingly at least sympathetic, if not all out supporting, you know, the PLA, this ridiculous call for a ceasefire, quote unquote. And for some reason, it's always about Israel. It's never going to Hamas and telling them to put down their guns. They always go to Israel and say, no, you should put down your guns, which is asking them to basically surrender their lives, because that's what they're fighting for, is their right to exist. So, yeah, I don't know, but I mean, I hate to think that Biden would continue to keep funding Iran and therefore funding terrorism because he wants to win badly, but that might be the case. I mean, he's been funding Iran for a long time. I can't believe he's funding both sides of this conflict right now, you know, and this election. I don't think that we could survive another Biden term, really. So I don't know what he's thinking, but I don't think we can survive another 4 years of whatever this is. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton in the wings, Big Mike, whoever's pulling calling the real shots, I don't think we can handle it. We can't handle a fourth term of Barack Obama.
We can't.
We won't survive.
No, we won't. We won't survive it. We have to have a deportation force. Everybody who was involved in these pro-terrorist rallies, or whatever you want to call them, terrorist events, because it you're terrorizing a group of people when they can't get to doctor's appointments, pick up their children. When you shut down an airport like they did, every one of them involved in that should have been arrested and deported if they were not American citizens and born here. If they were here on green cards, refugees, however not American citizens, they needed to be deported. That's how you save a nation. That's how you save a nation. You purge out the enemy. We're welcoming them in here, allowing them to tread all over us. I was thinking of an analogy today as the 1,300 African illegal aliens descended upon New York City Hall yesterday, making all kinds of demands. I was reminded of a locust, like the threat of a locust, right? That come and destroy the crops. These uber, grasshoppers that have such a power of flight, and they all swarm together and descend upon a crop and destroy it. And that's what's going on here, except that we're inviting them in here, and they're definitely destroying this country. They're destroying us economically, murdering, raping, and they're interfering in our elections, controlling the outcome. And if we're going to save this nation, it's not even about just getting Trump in there. It's about getting the right Republicans in there that will actually support him in a deportation force. And it's not just the 15 million illegals that came into this country through the southern border, through the Biden administration. It's also all these other Islamic, Islamist who are in this country and not American citizens. They need to be deported.
I mean, it's basically like Islamic nationalists, but I don't even want to say that. It's more like Islamic globalists, because like the sort of progressive left, they do want a one world totalitarian government. They just don't want it to be secular. They want it to be like an Islamic state, but on the entire world stage. So that's what they're doing. And they're partnering with the secular leftists who think that somehow this will work out for them in the end. Like they can coexist with the jihadist, and they will soon realize, maybe, I guess maybe not, they won't, but that's not going to happen. It's not going to work out. They're not going to have this, you know, they're not going to once the Islamist takes over the globe, they're not going to dedicate a whole month of the year to pride celebrations. They're not going to sit here and talk about DEI and CRT all day. So I don't know why the secular left can't see that, but they're carrying water for that movement. They're partnering with them. They're justifying it. They're pushing for more money for them. They're literally trying to force Israel into a ceasefire. They want Israel to put down their guns. They're literally carrying water for a terrorist organization that will happily destroy them once they get to it, once it serves their agenda. They're not there yet, but they will get there, I assure you.
Yep, they will. All right, and we are going to get to the final segment of tonight's Andrea Kaye Show when we come back. Stay with us.
You're listening to somebody who tells it like it is. Andrea Kaye on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. Listen, now more than ever, you got to take care of yourself in order to stay in the fight. Take care of yourself physically. That means you got to avoid all these government processed foods that are meant to kill us and poison us. Eat right. And for me, I've gotten involved in a health movement that's based on a natural immunity boost called polycosanols, and I get it in the form of an anisoma spray. Saved my life. I did get an email or a phone call from somebody on the 24-hour hotline talking about some apricots or something that they take. Look, you're not going to convince me to do anything else to boost my immunity besides an anisoma. I have done balance of nature. I take the vitamin C, vitamin D. I drink lots of water. I eat healthy. I eat veggies. I exercise. I get sleep. Nothing has given me the energy. Nothing has solved my chronic sinusitis issues. Nothing has relieved all the side effects from my shingles until I started using the Nanosoma spray. Nothing has restored my energy and given me energy back that I haven't had since I was in my 20s. Nothing but Nanosoma spray. I appreciate you're trying to, you know, give me a suggestion, but listen, it's all about the Nanosoma spray for me, the Nanosoma topical gel, and the Metasomer face cream that is just so luxurious and absolutely wonderful and has my skin looking better than it has in many years, which also still helps boost my immunity because the polycosanols are in the face cream. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/AK. Speaking of commenting to me, and that's iwantmyhealthback.com/AK. All right, going to read a couple of emails here for you guys. Sean says, so much to say. However, thank you for your love of Jack in the Box tacos. Still can get two for $1.99. Oh, I didn't know that. He says, I only wish I could take you on a date. Such a deal, $1.99. Hey, here's the thing though, Sean. I when it comes to a date, the only thing I require is it can't involve a drive-thru. Okay. It doesn't have to be Ruth's Chris. But not a drive-thru. Okay. Anyway, another from Sean, he says, I think the only reason we us are worried about how AI, palm scan, or the technology take over us is because many of us are somewhat familiar with the Bible, God's word. So we see the writing on the wall. Good point, because that is the end game for them. And we know what that means for us. And this is Bible prophecy playing out. You know, there's a lot of Christians that don't see it because they think that 666 would be the mark of that the mark of the beast would be a tattoo in the form of 666. They don't really see how something digital through the phone could be the same. But clearly, you know, the mark of the beast doesn't have to be something on our skin, or the digital footprint could end up being something that is implanted under our skin. But I see it as the same thing. Don't you?
Oh, absolutely. It's the concept. You have to be looking for that. It's the different factors and themes. It's not that it's literally going to be that, but it will present itself. And there are similar markers or markings, I guess, that you just really have to look for. But we are in biblical times. That much is very true. And these are treacherous times. And this is a fallen world, people. So I would caution people to think that, you know, it's all going to be sunshine and rainbows here on Earth, because this is not the final destination, and this is a fallen world, and man is sinful, and we should be very, very careful to sort of discard things. And I get it, you want to sort of see past stuff, and you think, oh, well, it's just harmless, or it's convenience, right? And who cares if they want to scan my fingerprint or scan my eyeballs, and who, you know, whatever. You see the best in people, fine, sure, that's really sweet and nice, but the truth is that kind of charity in your outlook, it can open the door to those locusts and those demonic power players who will happily use your good nature, and of course, which we have made in God's image, against you. That is what happens time and time again. People who don't really have that same internal sense of moral compass, that don't know the difference between right and wrong because they're not tuned into the word of the Lord, they will happily weaponize anything they can against you, including your own ability to look past the stuff, or to not even want to see it, or not to accept it. Your instinct to just discard it or minimize it. Be careful.
Well, the Bible says there will be those, none are so blind as those who won't see. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people willfully turning away. There's still so many conservatives that just can't accept that our government would be involved in this. Well, but you got to wake up, because if you understand the Bible, do you think that the Bible prophecy, it means that it's going to happen around the world except the United States? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. By the way, let me get back to Sean real quick. Sean, that was very sweet of you to say that you wish you could take me on a date. Very sweet. All right. One more email regarding food. Y'all know I love food. My favorite topic. Oh, I put this question out to you guys about, beef and, where I could get like butcher type of meat products that were safe and organic. And, R.M. Jackson said, on a subscription beef program, I use the Riverbend Cattle Company .com through Melaleuca.com. He says it's $133 every other month for 12 pounds of beef. That's a lot of beef. He says, or one can order every month if desired. Thank you so much. I'm going to check that out, because I really want to get tapped into non-injected natural beef from people that are not injecting poison into the food supply. Hey, love you guys. Thanks for being here tonight. Keep those emails coming at AndreaKShow.com. And peace out. Keep your head on a swivel. We'll see you tomorrow at 6:00.